Turning again to 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, might have one more message to bring out on this. Last week we saw signs that the season of the rapture is upon us, and while there are no actual signs of the rapture, the signs that we preached on were signs that the tribulation is upon us. And the tribulation is going to take place, the 7-year tribulation period is going to take place after the rapture, according to the Bible. I believe that God's Word teaches a full 7-year period. It's known as the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9, verse 24 through 27. We will not be here. After Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2, you do not read of a church anywhere on the earth through the rest of the book. And you don't read of any believers being baptized. You don't read of any preachers being sent out of any of the Lord's churches like you do from Acts to Revelation. But what you do read of is in Revelation 7, verse 1 through 8, where God's going to send his preachers out of the nation of Israel. So we seen the rebirth of Israel and the rebirth of Babylon, which was Iraq, May 14, 1948, October 3, 1932 for Iraq, 1948 for Israel, signs that the rapture is upon us. Now, the rapture could have taken place as soon as Christ arose from the dead, but since it has not taken place, and that this dispensation has lasted some 300 to 500 years longer than the other dispensations, it is safe to say we are in the last of the last days. And so it's right upon us. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now we're not going to be, next week we'll be bringing the message out of those set of verses, but we're going to go on over to 1 Corinthians 15. That'll be where we'll be bringing most of the message today, along with other verses. 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to do any reading, but 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 through 58 deals with the same subject. Today, I want to preach on the subject, the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture. You cannot have a resurrection and a rapture without Jesus. He is the cause, and the resurrection and the rapture are the effect. And so, God never reacts. God is always the cause, and man simply, and the things that's happening down here are simply the results of him, of his will. Even in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's happening down here on earth is simply an effect. It is not the cause. From individuals all the way to national levels, even to the planetary system and the signs that are in the planets, as the Lord said in Genesis, all of that is a reaction to the sovereign will of God. I want you to listen. You can turn if you want, but in Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner?" I don't know if I've not seen a cornerstone when I was building, though they don't seem to be used as much today. Maybe they are in laying brick and stuff, but your cornerstone was really important back in those days because it determined how the foundation would be laid and how the building would be built. And if you don't have a cornerstone, then the building's out of whack. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, I don't care how religious you are, you may read the Bible for hours on in and on out, and you may go to church every Sunday, it's out of whack. You got things out of order. It's Jesus first and then going to church. Now, every lost person needs to go to church. Every lost person needs to read the Bible. But when it comes to salvation, it's Jesus first and then everything else falls into its own place. So it says, the same has become that which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So Israel, when they had Jesus among them, they actually were rejecting the only hope that they had. All of us rejected. It wasn't just Israel, but all of us. And we need to understand that. In the booklet that I'm getting ready to get printed here before long, Man's Original Sin shows us that every individual rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. And when Romans 5 teaches you, like in verse 12 and 13, all are guilty. And then Romans 3:10 says there is none, and through 23, I believe it is, there's none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. That declaration was made upon man before the first person was born. You see? And so all of us, by nature, when we were conceived in our mother's womb, we were conceived with a nature that was already against God, because in, through, and by Adam, we already rebelled against God. And so all of us rejected our blessed Savior in Isaiah 53. If you want to look at Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now listen to what you and I did. Yet we did esteem him, and I brought this up last week, we, the elect of God, as well as the non-elect, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The elect done that. You felt that way. Now, you might not have walked around and thought about those exact words, but before the Lord saved you, it was all about you. You wanted to do what you wanted. It was your life. You wanted to live the way you wanted to live. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There's the verse that I use when I speak to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I speak to them in love. Now, I can't let them in our home, in my home, because the Bible says we're not to do that. Anybody that does not bring the doctrine of Christ, neither bid them Godspeed, neither let them come into your home. I believe it's in 2 John. And I always get across to them, they believe Jesus only rose in spirit. You cannot put stripes on a spirit. And I like to show them what the Bible says, we're healed through the wounds of Christ. And you can't put wounds on a spirit. And so some will sit, and you can see they're thinking about what I'm saying. Others just turn it off. But there's the scripture that condemns the belief of all religions that do not believe Jesus raised from the dead in his body. You cannot put stripes on a spirit, therefore you're not healed. You cannot be healed. Now look what verse 6 says in Isaiah 53. Listen, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us. There's no such thing as being born a Christian. I've heard Baptists, you've heard me say this before, some Baptists will say I was never lost. Well, that's not what Isaiah's saying. Isaiah's saying you were lost. Isaiah's saying that all we like sheep gone astray. Well, if you're saved, you don't go astray. You come to Christ. It says we, all of mankind, have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's talking about the elect of God. That sounds awful familiar. Where it says, laid on him the iniquity of us all. That sounds very familiar to what John the Baptist said in John 1:29, isn't it? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then when you study the scriptures, you'll find that John the Baptist was talking about the world of the elect, because the vast majority of mankind dies in their sins. Their sins were not removed from them. Having your sins removed is not done through reformation. It's done through Jesus Christ. You see, it's not man that determines the cross and how effective it is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God who determines the effectiveness of the cross in the heart of the individual. We've got it backwards. When I say we, I'm talking about man in general. So all of us have rejected the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture. Man, and we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians on this, man cannot resurrect or rapture himself out of this world. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. You can read along with me if you want. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 partly reads, the first man is of the earth, earthy. What in the world does that mean? If someone isn't familiar with reading the Bible, they say, that's hard. I don't even understand that. It don't make sense. All it's simply saying is the first Adam was created from the earth, and the only thing he knows is the things of this world. After Adam lost his innocence through sin, he became depraved. And even though he was saved after that, he still had his old depraved nature. His old depraved nature had been, it had come alive. And so when Adam sinned, that old depraved nature kicked in, and it was with him till he died. It wasn't there until he sinned. You see what we're saying there? It wasn't there till he sinned. Now, he was capable of sinning. That's what my uncle and I talked about so long on the phone. Even though Adam was innocent, he was capable of sinning, and he shows that in Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7. But after Adam sinned, that old depraved nature was kicked in. It was brought to life. And it never left Adam after that. And every person that's been born of Adam is conceived with a depraved nature. And then when the Lord saves us, he puts Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, verse 10 through 11. And so now we have two natures inside of us. We got the nature of Jesus Christ. We got Jesus living in us. But we still have the old depraved flesh. And these two butt heads. And listen to this. Even though we've already won the war, whichever one you feed the most in your daily life is the one that wins the daily battles. And how sad it is when we let the flesh defeat Christ in our daily lives. And that's exactly what happens. We lose more wars than we win. And we ought to win every war because we've already done one. We ought to win every battle because we've already won the war. We're victors. You read Romans chapter 8. We are more than conquerors through Christ. So we should not let the flesh ever defeat the will of God in our life, but we do. So the first man is of the earth, earthy. And what that simply means is man cannot go beyond his natural realm. He cannot go to that third heaven, if you will, that Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 42 of 1 Corinthians, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. Man cannot change corruption into incorruption. The only thing man can do is corrupt. He is corrupt. So the best that he can, that's about like saying night can produce day. Night cannot produce day. Good cannot produce evil, and evil cannot produce good. Evil is evil, good is good. Good, that is the natural law. I'm reading a lot about natural law in the book Brenda bought me years ago about Abraham Lincoln. It's about 1,000 pages. It's about this thick. But man, what rich readings. Abraham Lincoln did not believe in moral relativism. He believed freedom was not on based on moral relativism, which makes people feel entitled to benefits. Abraham believed in freedom with responsibility that produced rightful entitlements. In other words, you get what you earn. And Jesus, that comes from the Bible. The Bible nowhere teaches that you're given freedom without restraint. That's why God gave the Ten Commandments, was to restrain us, and so we could have civilized societies. We are free, but we're free to serve. We're not free to live and serve the flesh. We're free to serve Jesus Christ and conform to his will. So man cannot change his corruptible body into incorruption. Only the incorruptible one can change that which is corruptible into incorruptible. Man cannot change his dishonorable body to a glorious and honorable body. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. What does that mean? Does that mean the person was lost and went to hell? No. It simply means that you and I are going to have this body that is still spiritually dead. The only part of us that's saved is our inner man. This flesh is still unregenerate. So why are we here today? Because that which is in us enabled us to control the flesh and make it submissive to the will of God, and we brought it to church today. That's why we're here today, is you had a victory this morning. You conquered your flesh, because let's face it, folks, there's things this flesh wants to do other than sit here and listen to a message. My flesh would love to be out hitting a golf ball. I'd like to be out doing this and that. And so would you, because this flesh, the only thing this flesh knows is the things of the world. But you know what? Because of Christ in me, I honestly feel in my heart right now, I don't want to be out there on that golf course. I want to be here. And that is not automatic. That is you and me growing in grace and making the flesh submissive. But the fact that we have to make the flesh submissive proves that it is dishonorable. It's still dishonorable in the eyes of God. It has not received its redemption. It's going to receive its redemption. Now look at this. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Wow. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. That's the verse where the song, The Resurrection Morning, comes from. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Man, in his natural state, cannot produce a spiritual body. That is out of his control. He cannot, in verse 43, he cannot take a dishonorable body and raise it into a glorious, honorable body. That has to be done by the glorious and honorable one himself, Jesus Christ. That's why we're growing old and dying right now. Our physical blemishes and defects are the results of a corruptible nature and body. When I was younger, I had acne really bad. I got warts on me right now. I've had dandruff. I'm sure there's other defects. That's all because of a depraved nature. That's the effects of a conception in sin. Now, you say, well, I never had acne, so I'm... No. You've got your defects. You don't have to have the same defects I've got. We're all defected, okay? And we've all been defected in the mind a little bit. But our physical blemishes and defects are proof that we cannot do for ourselves what Jesus is, has, and forevermore will do for us. Man in his natural state is powerless. Now you listen to this. Man in his natural state is powerless against death and the grave. We're powerless. Folks, listen. If Jesus tarries his coming, death is going to get us. It's going to conquer us. It's coming after us like a wild beast that's hungry and wanting its prey. It's going to get you. It's going to get me. But there's one that it did not get. It did not conquer. He conquered it. And we'll get to that here just in a minute. Man cannot stay death. Look at verse 55, 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'll tell you where the sting of death is at, and I'll tell you where the victory of death is at right now. It's in the lives of every one of us, because we're dying right now, and it stung those that have died with a poisonous sting, and they did die, and they're in the grave. And we've been stung with the poisonous sting of death, and if Jesus does not come before we die, we too will end up in the grave. It will be victorious over us, at least for the moment. It's not going to always. Look at verse 56. The sting of death is sin. Oh, there. There's where we got it. When we were in Adam, in the garden, we sinned against God. And when we sinned against God, we got stung with a poisonous sting that began killing us. You know what? The devil tricked Eve. He said, the day that thou eatest thereof, God doth know that thine eyes shall be open. He tricked Eve. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. But what he didn't tell Eve and what he didn't tell Adam was, the day you eat of this tree, God told him that, the day thou eatest of this tree, talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. He died instantaneously, spiritually. He lost his spirit. He went from a trichotomous being to a dichotomous being. What do I mean by that? When God created Adam, he created him body, soul, and spirit. Three. When Adam sinned against God, he lost his spirit. He became a dichotomous being, body and soul. Every conception produces only a body and soul. The purpose of the new birth is to restore that spirit back in the elect of God, and you once again become a trichotomous being. You're a trichotomous being right here today. You've got a spirit inside of you. It's just that now your flesh is waiting for its redemption. But the sting of death is sin. That's why babies die. That's why children die. That's why that teenagers die. Young adults and old adults all have been stung by the sting of death. And the strength of sin is the law. We'll get into that here just in a minute. Next thing I want you to think about is we are bound by time and death. We're bound by it. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this the judgment." God has made an appointment with each one of the human race, and even those of his elect, which includes his elect. And those that's going to die before the resurrection and the rapture, he has made an appointment with them. They're going to die exactly when, where, and how he has said that they would. You're not going to die any other way than the way God has already ordained for you to die. That's one of the comforting things about death, is even death is as much a part of the sovereign will of God as living is. And another great thing about death is that's when we get to put off this old fleshly body and we get to go to be with the Lord. And that's when we will truly be happy, is when we're free. You and I have been dragging this old flesh around. We didn't know, but since the day he saved us, we've been dragging this old thing. We've been chained up to it. And death is what's going to break the chains, and you're going to get to soar higher than the eagles. You're going to get to soar where the angels have trod to go and be with Jesus. Now, if God has appointed it, it's going to happen. And there's nothing that man can do to stop that. If man could prevent death, then he will have conquered God. And that's exactly what man's trying to do today. Man is trying to conquer death. We've got buildings all over, universities all over this country, all over the world, that's studying the aging process. They're doing everything they can to stop the aging process. Well, you know what? God's not going to let them. You're going to die, period. You're going to die. The moment you come alive in your mother's womb is the very moment you didn't just start living, but you started dying. And so we've been on this road of death as long as we've been on the path of life. Now, as I said, man's doing his very best to conquer growing older and dying, but he's not going to, because this is the penalty for sinning against God. Now, it doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter how important they are. They're going to die. We see this all the time with people that are celebrities. We have people that's up in the political world. Just heard of another person, a famous person, Bourdain, who hung himself. And then the woman that made the handbag, never forgot her name, wealthy people, hung herself. Let me tell you something, folks. Riches cannot do for your soul what Jesus can. Jesus is the only treasure that there is. Now, if God's giving you a lot of stuff, enjoy it, but live with a loose grip, because you're leaving. If you're going to grab a hold of something, grab a hold of Jesus. Grab a hold of him like that woman did, had the issue of blood. Touched his hem of his garment. And he felt virtue leave his body. And the disciples couldn't understand. They said, all these people thronging you, and you felt someone touch you? He said, I felt virtue leave me. That was one of his sheep that was sick. And she came to him in faith, and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But she didn't no more touch it, and healing power went up from the body of the Lord to that woman. Now there, my friend, if you've got that, if you've been healed of sin, if God has saved your soul, you're healthy. You're as healthy as you can get. And so this is, man cannot control this. You know, man does not know how much sand is left in the hourglass of his life. Your last grains may be getting ready to fall down to the bottom. And when that last grain falls, guess what? Your eyes are going to close in death. But the good news is that'll be when you go to meet Jesus. Now, let's go to Romans real quick. As long as God's Ten Commandments are here, death reigns. God's Ten Commandments is what condemns us to death. Romans chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth." And then go down to verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead. As the one, what it does in verse 2 and 3, it speaks about a woman being bound by the law to her husband until her husband dies. And when her husband dies, she's at free to marry again. And then verse 4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, did you see that? The body of Christ, the body that rose from the dead, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Look at verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And verse 6 is where I want us to really hone in at. But now, after salvation's come, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, now listen to this, wherein we were held. We were held prisoners by the law, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. None of Adam's race can live up to those commandments. Not one. And that's why all are dying. Now, why is Jesus Christ the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture? I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm just going to go through these. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, it reads, the last part of that verse reads, the second man is the Lord from heaven. You see, he's different than the first man. The first man is Adam. The second man, the second Adam is Jesus Christ. So there we find, it says there in verse 47, for the first man is of the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. So the first man, Adam, is what brought sin in, and the second man, which is Jesus, look at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam, and that's talking about Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. So why is Jesus the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture? John 1 verse 1, he is God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Matthew 1 verse 20 partly reads, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's not said about anybody else. Jesus' blood did not come from Adam. It came from God, his Father. Nothing about Mary came to Jesus. None of his perfection came from Mary. Mary was a sinner. How do you know that? She's dead. Do you know of her walking on the earth anywhere today? Have you seen her in the news? No, she's dead. Why is she dead? Because she was conceived in sin. And she died because the sting of death got a hold of her. And she said, my soul doeth rejoice in God my Savior. In Luke 1, verse 47 through 48. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And that's the reason that goes right with Matthew 1, verse 20, where it says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. His blood came not from the earthly, the first Adam. His blood came from God. Jesus, another reason why he's the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture, is his nature was God's nature, which is sinless. He's God in the flesh. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 and a half years without sinning one time in thought or deed. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells you, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. So he didn't know the... Now, he understood sin. That's not what that's saying. When it says, for he who knew knows, that means he didn't have a desire for it. He didn't commit it like you and I do. You know, sometimes when we get mad, we want to do and say things that just ain't right. Sometimes we're in our minds, we're beating up people, shooting people. You know, I think we've all done that. I don't think we can all sit... I don't think anybody can sit here and say, not me. Oh, no, you... You're depraved just like the rest of us. Here, I got room for you right here in this boat of depravity. Here's your seat. Sit down beside me and get your oar and start rowing. But Jesus didn't do that. When he was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as I've preached before, I believe that he had elect there that he was praying for. And it tells you in Matthew, I believe it is, that many of the soldiers believed upon him. He was praying for their salvation. He wasn't praying for all that was there. He said, Father, forgive them. The them was limited to the elect, those that believed upon him. along with the Roman soldier, when he pierced him and saw the blood and water, he said, truly this was the Son of God. That's who Jesus was praying for. Jesus, another reason why Jesus is the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture, is Jesus is greater than time and death. In John 8, verse 53 through 59, you go home and read this, you'll find where Jesus told them that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. They said, you're not even 50 years old, and you're older than Abraham. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I was before Abraham. Well, Abraham lived 2,000 years. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus was born. Those Jews couldn't understand that. They did not understand. They were talking to the very same one that was talking to Moses on Mount Sinai when he said, I am that I am. They were talking to the great I am. They were talking to one who was older than time. They looked into the eyes of him that was there before the sun and the moon and the universe was ever created. They were looking into eternity when they looked into the eyes of Jesus. I like what Brother Moody, I believe I'll use that analogy that he has used in the past. Another reason why that Jesus is the Christ of the resurrection and the dead is because Jesus Christ has power. He had power to lay down his life and he had power to resurrect it. You remember when Brother Moody took his coat off and he said, I'm laying my coat down and then I'm putting it back on. He said Jesus had a power to lay down his life like I'm laying down this coat, and he had the power to bring his life back just like I'm putting my coat back on. That is exactly what that verse is talking about. Jesus Christ is the only one who could lay down his life and bring it back. Man, when he loses his life, it's over. It's gone. He cannot get it back of his own. When we go to the funeral home, we see that body lying in the casket. That body is not coming alive until God brings the life back. But when Jesus was laying dead in the tomb, he controlled his own life and brought it back to himself. This is amazing. Because he controls life, because he could take his own life away from him and bring it back at will, then that tells me that he alone is the only one who can resurrect and rapture out his saints. Why is that? Because he's the one that sends the life of the saint. The saints of God that have died, that are in heaven, they're going to go right back to where they died. They're going to go to their bodies. They're going to go to where their bodies were at. Many's going to go to the grave. Every saint of God that's died in the ocean has long since, their body's long since gone. All the saints that have died and been buried without embalming, their bodies have returned to the dust of the earth. Their life, they are going to go back to where their bodies was at. And God is going to resurrect their bodies and bring them out. So only he who could control his own life by taking his life and giving it again is able to do this. And then lastly, Jesus is greater than the law. I want you to turn real quickly to Matthew chapter 12. I got chills on me when I read this. In Matthew chapter 12, we just saw in Romans chapter 7 where the law is the strength of sin, and we were held under the law. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, Jesus said in verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Oh my goodness. He's talking about himself. That temple represents Moses and the law. And then look at verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now, when we were held under the law, in closing, I want you to look at verse 29. When we were under the law, lost, we were also in Satan's prison. Read verse 29 with me of Matthew 12. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? The strong man is Satan in this verse. And spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So Jesus is speaking of himself as being a stronger man who has broken into another man's house, who is also a strong man, but he's not as strong as the one that broke in. And that stronger man bound that one and then took what he wanted. Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, bound Satan. Now, I'm speaking only for salvation. Now, I'm not talking about in prophecy, because Satan is very much alive and well loose right now. But he went in there and he bound the strong man. What he done was he went into the prison of Satan, bound the warden, Satan himself, and he's rescuing his sheep out of that prison. He bound the strong man and took the spoil out. What is the spoil? The elect of God. So praise God that Jesus alone is the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture. He alone is the one who controls life. He took his own life, and then he brought it back. He dismissed his life. Let me say it that way. He dismissed his life, and then he brought it back. And that's why that he is the Christ of the resurrection and the rapture. I hope that this has been a blessing to those who have attended the Landmark Baptist Mission. And we look forward to next week when we get into the actual resurrection and rapture itself.